Welcome to Behind the Headlines on the 26th of June with me, Alex Richardson. This is your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK. Not always the most serious or breaking news stories, but here we try to find some of the more talkable issues or quirky stories that you might have missed. First, and we start with a woman who lost her dad, brother and eldest son in the Tunisia terror attack 10 years ago today. She tells us she feels lucky her youngest son managed to survive. Adrian, Patrick and Joel were among the 38 people who were killed when a gunman opened fire at a hotel. Suzanne Richards from the West Midlands set up a charity for others whose loved ones have been murdered. Alongside her surviving son Owen, she's been speaking to our reporter Molly Hookings.
10 years ago, my family went on holiday to Tunisia. It was a treat for my youngest son, Owen, who had just finished his GCSEs. And my dad and my brother decided to take my two boys, Joel and Owen, on holiday. They arrived in Tunisia on the 26th of June. And unfortunately, they got caught up in the terrorist attack, which took the lives of 38 holidaymakers. My son, Joel, my dad and my brother were all killed. And by some miracle, my youngest son, Owen, survived.
Were you there as well? Were you back in the UK?
No, myself and my mum were in the UK. They called it a jolly boys outing, just like Del Boy, because they were absolutely mad on Only Fools and Horses. And it was just a lad's trip. It was something that they've done before. And it was to celebrate Owen finishing his GCSEs. They'd been out to Tunisia previous years when Joel finished his GCSEs. So it was only fair that they did it again. And my dad wanted to take the boys back over to Tunisia to celebrate and have like a jolly boys outing where it was just the lads, and that was the plan.
And how did you learn that something was wrong?
My son called me from the hospital to tell me what had happened.
I can't even imagine.
Obviously, when I had that phone call, you know, my life changed completely. You know, I dropped to the floor. It was horrific. I just couldn't imagine, couldn't even believe what Owen was saying to me. I just couldn't comprehend what he was saying. But that seems a million years ago now, but also it feels like yesterday. It's very difficult to talk about it. I went out to Tunisia that day. My goal was to get Owen and make sure he was okay and to find out if my other family, you know, if Joel, my dad and my brother had survived, but sadly they hadn't. In the aftermath, over the weeks, we had a lot of community support, a lot of family support, a lot of friends support. And over time, we realised that other families across the UK that were affected by homicide were not getting support like they should be. So that was the reason why we set up Smile for Joel. We wanted to reach out to families that are going through the most horrific, traumatic experience that we went through and still go through today, and reach out and give those families some support. And that was why we set up Smile for Joel.
Next, in Yorkshire now, where three people, too seriously, have been injured in an explosion in Halifax. Huge flames were seen overnight on Springhall Grove. One house is completely blown out with the whole of the front exposed. Our senior reporter, Cathy Green's been to see it today.
I'm standing behind blue and white police tape. There's still a heavy police presence here, fire and rescue on the scene as well. Beyond that, I can see the house with the roof completely destroyed. You can see into the property. Tiles have fallen away and you can see the black that's been left from the fire as well. A scene of devastation here and the community telling me that they're in shock.
Now, seagulls, they can be a bit of a problem, can't they, when you go to the seaside and you've got your fish and chips and they're bothering you? Well, there's going to be a summit on nuisance seagulls. The Scottish Government's commitment to the meeting comes following a debate on problems with gulls in urban areas. MSPs highlighted attacks on children with claims the noisy birds are also impacting people's sleep and mental health. A pensioner feels action must be taken against gulls after being attacked by them this week. Our chief reporter, Liam Ross, has more.
They're being described as a menace across the country, with calls ramping up for the issue to be addressed. Jeff Thornhill and his wife were dive-bombed by two gulls on Monday and says it has left them shaken up.
I was a bit unnerved myself, but my wife particularly upset, so we've now tried to avoid that area when we can, we're out walking.
Now, he wants to see something done before someone is seriously hurt, something echoed by Conservative MSP Douglas Ross, and feels robust measures are needed.
People are worried about leaving their homes because they will be attacked by these gulls, and it could cause very severe injury and potentially even death.
Nature Scots say they'll continue working with local authorities to put gull management plans in place.
Now, the Minister for Public Health and Prevention's in talks with a Hampshire-based charity over how the government can help to reduce the late diagnosis of a serious brain condition in babies. Harry's Hydrocephalus Awareness Trust calling for more routine infant head measurements to help to detect the condition at an early stage. Our regional correspondent Victoria Glover has this.
What a wonderful charity they are, and I'll be more than happy to make sure that the relevant minister meets with you to discuss.
That was the Minister for Public Health and Prevention, Ashley Dalton MP, making a commitment in the Commons to meet with Harry's Hat. And meet them she now has. The charity is highlighting how head measurements can be used to help identify conditions like paediatric hydrocephalus early. It's a serious, lifelong condition, often associated with an unusually large or rapidly growing head. Harry's Hat says the two routine measurements currently offered to babies in the UK isn't enough and leaves children at risk of late diagnosis. In that meeting was the charity's local MP, Alex Brewer, who's hopeful the charity's research and lived experience will now help to inform a review of the Healthy Child programme in the coming months.
One of the things that was very clear in the room is that all of us who've had children had absolutely no idea why their head was being measured. And so that came as a really important point of communicating to parents what a healthy head circumference looks like to give an indication of the baby's brain health.
And you can read more about why head measurement is significant for babies in your family on the news pages of our website.
Now, yes, it is Glastonbury this weekend. Ahead of the music starting tomorrow, we've been out and about at Glastonbury Festival. The Thursday is a chance for people to get their bearings around the campsite and check out some of the smaller events too. Our chief reporter, Andrew Kay, is doing just that.
Some festival goers took part in a 5K fun run here. Others, all dressed up, joined the fitness coach Joe Wicks for a mass workout on one of the smaller stages. He's dreaming one day he'll be promoted up to the iconic pyramid stage.
Yeah, I can dream big, of course I can. I mean, look, got there with a little speaker. I didn't even got to use a big speaker, you know, the sound system. Say, come on, let me do a little workout, bring me a little boombox.
There's also been more than 400 people treated at the huge on-site medical centre here. I've actually been given a tour by the doctor who runs it, Chris Howe. He says it aims to stop the more than 200,000 people here on site, putting pressure on local NHS services.
We've got X-ray, we've got GPs, wide range of different nursing skills, physiotherapists, podiatrists, mental health team.
And the festival itself pays the charity which runs the medical facility, and because all the staff volunteer, the money is spent on health projects around the world.
Some more bird news on Behind the Headlines now, and a puffin found in Herefordshire is receiving care so it can be sent back into the wild. The bird's said to have been in a garden by a family and handed into vets for pets in Hereford. Our reporter Elliot Burrow has more.
Well, the team believe this puffin is female and she could have come from as far as the Pembrokeshire coastline in Wales, over 100 miles away. Elliot Goodwin from the Vets for Pets team tells me the news came as quite a surprise when they were told one had been found.
So one of my colleagues, Georgie, when she took the phone call and come through and said, oh, someone says I've got a puffin in the garden. Of course, we were all sort of like very sceptical.
We're told she's not injured, just very tired from her inland holiday.
So there you go, not one but two bird stories in Behind the Headlines today. Well, you can find out more on these and other stories in the news pages of our website. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow too, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or listen via the Rayo app.